Welcome back to the North Carolina Reading Service. Once again, your readers today are Tim Mannix and
Steve Lord.
We'll begin our second hour of news from the NNO, the New Bern Sun Journal, Greenville Daily Reflector, and the Wilmington Star News. And to begin, we're going to have Steve take you through and give you a TV listing from the NNO for this evening.
Thank you, Tim. We start with the broadcast channels on ABC. It's a new episode of Will Trent from 8 to 9 tonight. From 9 to 10, it's a new episode of The Rookie. And 10 to 11 has a new episode of Bad Romance 2020. CBS has a new episode of FBI from 8 to 9. There's a new FBI International from 9 to 10. And FBI Most Wanted from 10 to 11 is also new. Fox Channel has a new The Cleaning Lady from 8 to 9. Alert Missing from 9 to 10 is new. And the news is on from 10 to 11. NBC, a new episode of Night Court from 8 to 8:30. Another new episode of Night Court from 8:30 to 9. The Voice, 9 to 10, is new. It's the recap of the playoffs, part 2. From 10 to 11 is Yes, Chef, although that doesn't say it's new, so it could be a rerun. The chefs prepare 5 appetizers, one at a time, as a team to go with Martha's Roast Chicken. Ion Channel has 3 episodes of Chicago Fire at 8, 9, and 10, all reruns, of course. PBS, Finding Your Roots with Henry Louis Gates Jr. from 8 to 9. Tonight's guests are David Chang and Raul Esparza. From 9 to 10, it's a new episode of Patty Jinich Explores Panamericana, Juno and Whitehorse Sister Cities. 10 to 11 is Frontline, a new episode. MNT has Dateline, The Grudge from 8 to 9, and then 2 reruns of Suits at 9 and at 10. On the CW, it's WWE NXT Live from 8 until 10. Starting from 10, at 10 is the National News Desk, a half hour, and another National News Desk live at 10:30. Looking at a few of the cable channels on A&E, you have Neighborhood Wars tonight. Reruns at 8 and at 8:30, new episodes at 9 and 9:30, and then Parent Wars are new at 10 and 10:30. AMC has the 2016 movie Hacksaw Ridge with Sam Worthington, Luke Bracey, and Andrew Garfield starting at 8 o'clock, running through 11. BET has the 1990 movie House Party with Robin Harris starting at 6 o'clock and running until 9. It's followed by House of Pain at 9 to 9:30, Assisted Living from 9:30 to 10, Pound 4 is a new episode from 10 to 10:30, and another new episode of Pound 4 from 10:30 to 11. Disney Channel has Big City Greens at 8 and again at 8:30, Stugo at 9 to 9:30, Kif 9:30 to 10, Zombies Reanimated 10 to 10:30, and Ladybug from 10:30 to 11. Discovery Channel, Street Outlaws from Street Outlaws Locals Only from 8 until 9 is a new episode. Red Bull Soapbox Race from 9 to 10 is new. There's an episode of two episodes of Caught from 10 to 10:30 and 10:30 to 11. They look like reruns. ESPN has NHL Hockey. It's the second round, teams TBA, from 7 until 9:30, and then another second round NHL hockey, 9:30 until whenever. Nickelodeon, 6 episodes of Friends every half hour, starting at 8 o'clock. TNT has NBA basketball. It's the first round. Again, teams TBA starts at 7:30, runs until 10, and then another first round game starting at 10 o'clock. And USA, 3 episodes of Law and Order, Special Victims Units, all reruns, of course, 8, 9, and 10.
Well, the NNO has 2 obituaries listed today. In Raleigh, John Calvin Brantley III was 82 years of age when he passed away on May 2nd. Brownwind St. Mary's Street is handling the arrangements. Also in Raleigh, Murad Dahu, 61 years of age, died April 22nd. The Islamic Association of Raleigh is handling that. And we offer our condolences to the family and friends of the deceased. Well, we've got a half dozen announcements for you today. You're listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. connecting people who are blind and print impaired to each other, their families, and communities by delivering news, information, and entertainment using the latest audio technology. In addition to using specially tuned sub-channel radio receivers, NCRS streams our programming on our website at ncreadingservice.org. Listen by using the Listen Live streaming audio player located in the upper right-hand corner of our website pages. If you have an assisted technology device such as Alexa or Google Home, just say, tune in NC Reading Service and listen instantly. We also provide podcasts of over 50 magazines and other information and entertainment programs following the initial broadcast. Please visit our website, ncreadingservice.org, and click on Skip to Podcast section. For more information about your North Carolina Reading Service, give us a call at 919-832-5138. That's 832-5138. And again, thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. From Disability Rights North Carolina, our work is threatened. Can we count on you so our community continue to count on us? Did you know that this year marks the 50th anniversary of the Protection and Advocacy Network? As North Carolina's designated PNA, Disability Rights North Carolina has proudly carried out our federally mandated mission, protecting and advocating for the rights of people with disabilities across our state. Funding cuts threaten the services and protections we provide to individuals with disabilities and those who love and care for them. This isn't just a budget line. This is about real people losing access to education, health care, safe housing, and the support they need to live with dignity and independence. We're proud of what we've accomplished, but we cannot continue this work without your support. We urge you to act now to protect the rights and safety of disabled North Carolinians. Together, we've built something powerful over the last 50 years. Let's make sure it lasts for the next 50 and beyond. Find out how you can help us. Go to disabilityrightsnc.org/take-action. That's disabilityrightsnc.org/take-action. Affordable and accessible housing. Know your rights. Join the Triangle Disability Awareness Council for a seminar about affordable and accessible housing and the rights of people with disabilities. This seminar is for tenants as well as landlords and housing providers and will be held in person and also on Zoom. Speaker Michael Mansett, lead attorney for Fair Housing Project Legal Aid of North Carolina, will cover affordable and accessible housing, home ownership and rental, landlord and tenant rights, and reasonable accommodation versus modification. There will be plenty of time for Q&A. The event is being held May 7th from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. in person at 2501 Homestead Road, room 109 in Chapel Hill, and will be on Zoom. The link will be provided at registration. For more information, call the TDAC at 919-245-4337. That's 245-4337. Hey, have you gotten your free currency reader yet? The Department of Treasury's Bureau of Engraving and Printing is now providing a free currency reader to all eligible blind or visually impaired individuals. The device is small, compact, runs on a AAA battery, which is included. To use the reader, simply insert a U.S. bill into the reader and press the button. The device will tell you the note's denomination. To request your currency reader, fill out an application form, which is available to download at bep.gov. It must be signed by a competent authority, such as a doctor, who can certify your eligibility. Then, simply mail it to the address on the application Once your application is verified, a reader will be mailed to you at no charge. For more information about the U.S. Currency Reader Program, visit BEP.org, or you can call toll-free 844-815-9388. That's 844-815-9388. Some local plays in the area. Let's see. Raleigh, Sunday, May 11th, Schoolhouse Rock, live at 3 p.m. at the Raleigh Little Theater at 301 Polk Street in Raleigh. You can call them at 919-821-3111. That's 919-821-3111. And make sure you ask for a free ticket for your driver. Let's see, in Greensboro on Saturday, May 10th, Back to the Future will be at 2 p.m. And Sunday, May 11th, Back to the Future at 1 p.m., both of them at the Tanger Center, 300 North Elm Street in Greensboro. If you have questions, give them a call at 336-333-6500. That's 336-333-6500. Tactile tours are available at the North Carolina Museum of Art. These tours are designed for visitors who are blind or have low vision. These docent-led tours explore the museum's collection through audio description, tactile experiences, and by engaging the senses. Tours are available by request only. You must arrange them at least 2 weeks in advance. And to schedule a tour, please contact Accessibility Coordinator Molly Hull, that's H-U-L-L, at mhull@ncartmuseum.org. Again, mhull@ncartmuseum.org, or give them a call at 919-664-6854. That's 664-6854. And now, back to today's news.
Bill targets guaranteed income programs for poor. In 2022, the city of Durham launched one of the state's first guaranteed income programs, offering cash payments to people returning to Durham after prison. For almost a year, the Excel program gave 109 people $600 a month, with no strings attached, to help them re-enter society. Although the pilot program ended in 2023, some Durham City Council members have pushed for some kind of guaranteed income program to continue, with Mayor Pro Tem Mark Anthony Middleton proposing a $1 million in city money. The $500,000 Excel pilot was funded partly by a grant from Mayors for Guaranteed Income. The results were incredibly positive, Middleton said in an interview. Folks used the money for bills, to get to job interviews. The recidivism rate of the people who participated was close to zero. However, a new bill introduced by a Republican state lawmaker could threaten such initiatives, program supporters say. House Bill 859, currently moving through House committees, would prohibit cities and counties from implementing guaranteed income programs unless authorized by local or general state laws, which would require approval by the General Assembly. The bill, sponsored by State Representative Cody Honeycutt of Montgomery and Stanley counties, was approved on April 29th in the House Committee on Commerce and Economic Development and referred to the House Committee on State and Local Government. The bill has several more steps before it reaches the House and Senate floors for a vote. The News and Observer reached out to Honeycutt through email and a phone call last week, but has not gotten a response. Guaranteed income programs are designed to provide a financial safety net, and many local governments across the country have been testing them. In 2023, there were about 100 programs around the country. The largest, which ended in 2023 in Chicago, gave 5,000 households $500 a month for a year. Advocates say people who receive the money pay for necessities like housing, food and utility bills, as well as transportation to get to work and child care. The Magnolia Mothers Trust, which gave poor black mothers $1,000 a month in Jackson, Mississippi, saw a dramatic increase in women being able to buy food and have money left over for emergencies. Durham County is planning to launch DECO Thrives. That's Durham County Thrives with the Durham Children's Initiative, which will give 125 families $750 a month for a year. Qualifying families must make below 30% of the area median income, or $31,750 for a four-person household. County Manager Claudia Hager said the pilot program would serve families who are hardworking residents who struggle to afford housing, food, childcare, and utilities despite being employed. Durham County opposes House Bill 859, Hager said in a statement. While the future of the DECO Thrives pilot faces uncertainty due to potential legislative restrictions and funding challenges, Durham County remains steadfast in our commitment to supporting residents in need through whatever lawful mechanisms remain available to us. Earlier this year, Raleigh launched Bringing Neighbors Home, a program that will pay 45 families and individuals experiencing homelessness at least $1,450 every month for 2 years to spend however they see fit. We know through years of research and practice that a large majority of people, 80 to 90% of people, just need that 2 years of assistance, and then they're able to stabilize after that time, Amelia Sutton, the city's housing and neighborhoods director, said in a previous interview with the NNO. Critics of guaranteed income programs say the payments could discourage people from working and don't contribute to reducing overall costs. In an article, Doug McKay, a professor in UNC's public policy department, said there is a reciprocity worry about the programs. The thought is you should only get access to public benefits if you are participating in the formal labor market and earning an income, McKay said. The question they ask is, why should some group of individuals be participating in the labor force and paying taxes to fund a universal basic income program for other people who aren't participating in the labor market? One of the responses to this is that UBI recognizes all those forms of contribution to society that aren't remunerated, he added. Think about parents taking care of their children, or poor people taking care of elderly family members. There's lots of ways in which people contribute to society. Middleton said the programs are a matter of principle, and that economically secure people and stable people make better neighbors when they aren't trying to figure out how to pay bills or feed children. Poor people work more than just about anybody else in the country, he said. Many of these people piece together two and three jobs to make ends meet. The notion that we're seeing people just getting checks and staying at home is not what the data is bearing out. How cities with guaranteed income programs will respond to the bill if it becomes law is unknown. The city of Raleigh doesn't speak to pending litigation, said Julia Milstead, the city's public information officer. Mayor Janet Cowell said she hasn't seen the bill yet and declined to weigh in. Beverly Thompson, Durham's public information officer, said any kind of parameters or restrictions imposed by House Bill 859 could certainly have an impact on our ability to manage such programs in a way that we deem most helpful to the city's residents. In another story, three dead, five hurt in shooting at Arizona restaurant. Three people were killed and five more injured in a shooting in Glendale, Arizona, police said. The Glendale Police Department on Sunday said no one has been arrested in connection with the incident that reportedly took place at a business identified as the El Cameron Gigante Steakhouse, which is across the street from police headquarters. Public Information Officer Maroney Mendez said at a news conference that calls came in at approximately 10:45 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and police believed more than one perpetrator was involved. The cause of the violence remains under investigation. An unidentified witness told NBC affiliate KPNX of Phoenix that a family-friendly Cinco de Mayo party was underway at the restaurant at the time, and that he had just left the establishment when he allegedly heard over 20 shots, followed by 10 more after a brief pause. The witness reported that he saw a woman receive treatment for more than one gunshot wound, and that three people were being treated by paramedics with chest compressions, as well as another victim removed from the scene on a stretcher. The Consulate of Mexico in Phoenix posted to social media early Monday that, derived from the events that happened tonight in El Cameron Gigante in the city of Glendale, any Mexican people who require consular assistance or protection in connection with the incident can contact their office.
Is low-fat or low-carb better for weight loss? Experts settle the debate. If you're looking for sustainable diets that help melt away fat, foods that are high in protein or fiber usually make the list, along with fresh fruits and veggies packed with essential nutrients. However, when it comes to structuring an overall eating plan, items lower in carbs and unhealthy fats can also be beneficial. When it comes to low-fat versus low-carb, one helps you lose more weight. We turn to experts to break down the research and determine what actually works. Low-fat versus low-carb, key differences. A low-carb diet focuses on limiting foods high in carbohydrates, such as starchy foods, such as potatoes, grains, and legumes, certain types of fruits and starchy vegetables, and added sugars. While different approaches have varying levels of carbohydrate restriction, the most common one limits carbs to 20 grams or less per day, explains Al Chappell, MS, PhD, founder, and CEO of Lilly Health. He says the purpose is to lower insulin levels, allowing the body to burn fat for energy, she says. Conversely, a low-fat diet limits foods in high fat, such as oils, butter, full fatty dairy products, and fatty animal proteins. Chappell notes this type of eating pattern includes lean proteins, whole grain, beans, fruits, veggies, and low-fat dairy. It's often used to help lower calorie intake, but can be difficult to sustain since fat is essential for fullness, hormone production, and healthy skin and hair. Is a low-fat or low-carb diet better for weight loss? The good news, both low-carb and low-fat diets can lead to quick weight loss, largely because they reduce your overall calorie intake. However, Carrie Lupoli, nutritionist, founder, and behavior specialist at Disruptive Nutrition, says neither approach tends to be effective for the long term. Typically, these diets tout eating fewer highly processed foods, which is great. But the problem is, neither teaches you how to fuel your body correctly, which isn't sustainable. Instead, she recommends a balanced diet that incorporates proteins, carbs, and healthy fats, such as olive oil, nuts, and seeds. That said, both low-carb and low-fat diets offer certain benefits for weight loss and your overall health. Below, we reveal what makes each stand out. The benefits of a low-carb diet. Diets are as individual as the people who follow them. Ultimately, it comes down to consistency and sustainability, notes Heather Sneed, a certified nutritionist and expert at Live Conscious. Here's how a low-carb diet can help with weight loss. It controls appetite. Diets high in protein and fat can help you feel fuller for longer because they trigger the release of satiety hormones, which also reduce levels of the hunger hormone ghrelin. Unlike carbs, healthy fats and protein help you feel fuller, making it easier to eat less without strict portion control. It stabilizes blood sugar. Reducing your carb intake helps minimize sharp spikes in blood glucose and insulin. Maintaining more stable food sugar levels throughout the day can lead to fewer energy crashes, reduced cravings, especially for sugar and refined carbs, improve mood and better control over hunger and overeating. A lower carb diet can also improve insulin sensitivity, meaning the body becomes more effective at using insulin to transport glucose into cells. Sneed adds, this can help prevent excess glucose from being stored as fat, which supports a healthier metabolism. It burns more fat. Cutting back on carbs often eliminates added sugars and starches found in many foods, which can lead to noticeable weight loss early on. On stricter plans like the keto diet, the body may enter a metabolic state called ketosis, where it burns fat for fuel instead of glucose. According to Sneed, this can boost fat loss deficiency. Benefits of a low-fat diet. Same rules apply to a low-fat diet in terms of consistency, but the benefits differ for weight loss. These include, it lowers your calorie intake. Fat has 9 calories per gram compared to 4 calories per gram for carbs and protein. By simply monitoring and intentionally choosing lower-fat foods, you can reduce your fat intake and lower your overall calorie consumption, which can contribute to weight loss, says Sneed. It improves heart health. Foods in a low-fat diet tend to be higher in fiber and are often linked to improved heart health, including better cholesterol and a reduced risk of heart disease. In addition to these benefits, fiber supports weight loss by promoting feelings of fullness, aiding in healthy digestion, helping to control appetite, and improve digestion. It revs your metabolism. Chappell says, a low-fat diet encourages a higher intake of fruits, veggies, and fiber, which provides essential vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants. These nutrients help optimize metabolism, boost energy levels, and promote healthy digestion, all of which contribute to more effective weight management. The bottom line on low-fat versus low-carb diets, it's important to note that weight loss is personal, and the structure of these diets may not work for everyone. Factors like genetics, daily routine, stress level, gut health, and personal food preferences all play a role. Also, both low-carb and low-fat can become unhealthy if they rely heavily on processed foods such as those high in saturated fats and fatty proteins or loaded with added sugars and refined carbohydrates. Experts recommend focusing on whole, nutrient-dense foods, which are essential for supporting both weight loss and overall health.
Turning now to newspapers from our eastern communities, this story from the Greenville Daily Reflector, it's 11 brief items of community news. Number one, the Peace Presbyterian Church, 301 Guinness Drive in Winterville, will host a Red Cross blood drive from 2 p.m. until 6 on Wednesday in the Church Fellowship Hall. You can schedule an appointment to donate on the web at redcrossblood.org. You can also contact the church office with questions by phone at 355-2273. Number two, a community shred event and medicine drop will be held from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. on Friday at the Farmville Community Center, 3886 South Main Street in Farmville. There is a shred limit of 3 boxes or bags. No binders or binder clips. No liquids, syringes, or needles will be accepted for the medicine drop. Number three, the Pitt County Arboretum at 403 Government Circle will hold a walking tour from noon until 1 p.m. on Friday. The topic will be Foliage is Not Just for Fall, Plants with Exceptional Leaf Color for All Seasons. Attendance is free. You can pre-register on the web at tinyurl.com/arboretum-walk-color. Number four, the Winterville Chamber of Commerce will host Business Before Hours from 8 until 9:30 a.m. on May 14th at Cooper's Cup, 2588 Railroad Street. This is a floating event. Not sure what that means, actually. Local businesses are encouraged to donate door prizes. For more information, go on the web to wintervillechamber.com. Number five, Coffee with a Cop will be held from 9 a.m. until 10:30 on May 16th at Cooper's Cup, 2588 Railroad Street in Winterville. Join officers from the Winterville Police Department to discuss ideas and community issues, build relationships, and enjoy a cup of coffee. Number six, Aces for Autism, 654 Worthington Road in Winterville, will host its second annual Color Run at 9 a.m. on May 17th on the campus. Cost is $30 for individuals or $20 per person in a team of six or more. Proceeds will support ACEs for Autism programming. You can register on the web at tinyurl.com/MR36YEN4. Or you can go visit facebook.com/ACEsForAutismNC. Number seven, the Pitt County Master Gardener annual spring plant sale fundraiser will be held from 10 a.m. to noon on May 17th at the Pitt County Arboretum, 403 Government Circle. A preview sale for Friends of the Arboretum will be held from 9 a.m. until 10. Cash or check only, please. Number eight, the Master Gardeners invite children and families to celebrate National Poetry Month with the new Poem in Your Pocket exhibit through May 21st at the Pitt County Arboretum Children's Garden, 403 Government Circle. Collect classic children's poems while visiting the garden. Number nine, a Penny Pincher's Healthy Grocery Store Tour will be held at 6 p.m. May 22nd at the Food Lion at 4822 Old Tar Road in Winterville. Participants will learn how to stretch their food budget, read labels, and make healthy choices. You can reserve a spot by calling DeVette Thomas at 847-6497. You can also email her at dmthomas@ecuhealth.org. Number 10, the Winterville Chamber of Commerce, 360 Golf Carts, and the Town of Winterville will hold a golf cart parade on May 24th at the Market Square Lot, 252 Main Street in Winterville. The parade will start at 10 a.m. and local vendors will be available until 2 p.m. Golf carts may be entered for $20. For more information, go on the web to wintervillechamber.com/GCP. And finally, the Extension Master Gardener Volunteers of Pitt County are hosting a plant swap at 9:30 a.m. on June 7th at the Pitt County Arboretum, 403 Government Circle. Bring up to five plants or gardening tools, planters, etc., provided they are healthy and in good condition, and pick up five that others have brought to take home. Swapping will start at about 10 a.m. Please identify plants with a label.
Ginger Livingston of the Greenville Daily Reflector has an article. Town Common Bulkhead Construction and Fire Tower Donation on the Greenville City Council Agenda. Nearly $15 million in construction contracts to build a new Town Common Bulkhead and Esplanade along the Tar River are up for consideration by the Greenville City Council yesterday, or today. Council is being asked to award a nearly $14.34 million contract to Trader Construction Company of New Bern to install a new bulkhead structure and other improvements along the river's edge of the downtown park. That includes terrace seating, multi-use path that will provide east-to-west connection through the park closer to the river. Upgrades are also planned for the Greenville Toyota Amphitheater's loading zone, which will improve access for a broader range of performers' vehicles and equipment, according to the council agenda material. The project was twice put out to bid, and Trader was the only company to respond. The construction contract allows for a duration of 400 days. Staff is proposing the project be funded with $5 million previously approved by the General Assembly. The remainder of the cost will be financed. Estimates for the work totaled $22 million when it was approved back in 2023. The council is also being asked to award a $538,554 contract to Moffitt and Nickel to provide construction administration services. Profit and Nickel designed the project. The contract will require the company to undertake program management and team coordination, conduct pre-construction surveys and drawings, and conduct field views with when the project is underway. Next, fire tower donation. In other purposes, Monday, the council members scheduled to consider accepting the 786 square feet of property located on the south side of East Fire Tower Road, east of Baywater Road. According to agenda materials, Lewis Land Development is donating the property where the old North Carolina Forest Service fire tower stands to be used as part of a public art project. Monday's meeting was at 6 p.m., the council chambers at City Hall and at 200 West 5th Street. The council also will hold a 4 p.m. workshop session in conference room 337. The agenda includes a discussion on the proposed purchase of a new Emerald Express trolley. Council is scheduled to discuss a request from the city's Historic Preservation Commission to further delay the demolition of the Jacob Higgs Historic Home located at 1112 Dixon Avenue. Council voted last year to demolish the home, but delayed action for 365 days so Preservation North Carolina could work with the property owners to save the structure for purchase. The delay will expire on or about June 3rd. Other items on Monday's regular meeting agenda included a request to authorize Greenville Utilities Commission to extend sewer services to the proposed Pitt County megasite property without voluntary annexation into the city. Second, there was a presentation of the city's proposed fiscal year 25-26 budget. And a request to award a professional service contract for design, easement acquisition, and construction administration services for a drainage improvement and stream restoration project at East Fire Tower Road. The council also has to authorize the execution of grant agreement and assurances with the North Carolina Department of Public Safety Disaster Relief and Mitigation Fund. And then Thursday's meeting, three public hearings are on the agenda for the council meeting at 6 p.m. on Thursday. Members will consider the following: a request to rezone 16.8 acres between Stansonburg Road and the Norfolk Southern Railroad and west of the Southwest Bypass from residential agriculture to industry. Second, a resolution to close a portion of Grand Avenue. And finally, a presentation and comments on the 2025-26 Annual Action Plan of the Neighborhood and Business Services Department. Members also will hear presentations on the proposed fiscal year 25-26 operating budgets for the Pitt-Greenville Convention and Visitors Authority, Shepherd Memorial Library, and Greenville Utilities Commission.
From the Wilmington Star News, nature preserve for sale in Wilmington, North Carolina, near West Bank. The story by Daniel Sheehan. While talk of development along the Cape Fear River's West Bank has gone cold, an adjacent nature preserve is for sale. What does $1 2/3 million buy in New Hanover County? For one property, the price tag covers a 2,335-square-foot home with two bedrooms and two bathrooms. The modern abode was built in 2009 and is conveniently located minutes away from downtown's historic district, just beyond Wilmington city limits. The house was intentionally built with eco-friendly materials and an abundance of windows to enhance the experience of living among the area's natural beauty. But the specifications of the home are not the main driver of the price point. At 291 acres, the listing is one of the largest lots for sale in New Hanover County. While triple-digit lots are often acquired by developers looking to turn the open space into housing, that option is off the table for 1801 U.S. Route 421. The land is conserved in perpetuity, allowing for the protection of natural wildlife, including neotropical songbirds, otters, and wild turkeys that are native to the property. Landowners Ann Stapleton and Robert Bryden originally put the property on the market in July 2024. It was briefly removed before its listing was reinstated in March, with $145,000 taken off the total price. The pair purchased the property for $60,000 from the NC Coastal Land Trust in 2003, according to New Hanover Property Records. The land is a portion of the Northeast Cape Fear River Royal Tract, a 782-acre conservation donated to the Coastal Land Trust by Stephen Royal in 2000. The current owners retained the 287-acre conservation easement when they purchased the portion of the tract. While the land is technically in an industrial zone, the easement legally and permanently protects it from development. Only one single-family dwelling was permitted to be built on the property under the agreement. With New Hanover County property at a premium, what keeps big buildings vacant? The future of the property is directly north of a site that was poised for development in 2021. The controversial Villages at Battleship Point project, helmed by KFJ Development Group, sought to bring in 550 condos, 300 apartments, and 100,000 square feet of retail and restaurant space to 1100 Point Harbor Road. The 8 acres of undeveloped land is zoned for industrial development. The developer's request to establish a new zoning district to fit the plans was denied by the county's planning board in December 2021. Though the project was stalled, the effort to conserve land along the West Bank has faced its own roadblocks. A hotel and spa were proposed just south of Battleship, North Carolina. A nonprofit, Unique Places to Save, tried to fund the $16 million purchase of the land through a grant from the North Carolina Land and Water Fund and donations, but the movement ultimately failed. The county itself has indicated the importance of conservation of the West Bank. In October 2024, the Board of Commissioners established the Riverfront Conservation Place type specifically for design for the properties. The designation, while not a zoning district, outlines goals of conserving environmentally critical areas and protecting water quality and supply. Still, making conservation a reality comes with additional hurdles. Without a conservation easement and under private ownership, development remains a possibility for the land.
Daniel Sheehan of the Wilmington Star News has an article. With development stalled along Wilmington's West Bank, a nearby nature preserve is for sale. While talk of developing along the Cape Fear River's West Bank has gone cold.
That was the article I just read.
Oh, in that case, I've got a different article that we're going to go read.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. Karamaya Valentin has an article. She's with the Sun Journal, New Bern Sun Journal. CSS celebrates Farm to School Week. Among the fun events like a farm to school cheer competition, culinary competition, and a day at the farmer's market, area leaders and farmers attended a luncheon to discuss the hurdles CCS faces due to the grant cut. Through the Department of Agriculture, the Farm to School program allows schools to purchase products from North Carolina farmers. The department offers various in-house products twice a month to schools. Lauren Wayan, CSS School Nutrition Director, said the Farm to School program provides a few seasonal produce items on the school menu. However, for CCS, the program is more than that. In 2021, CCS elevated the meaning of farm to school by dedicating a whole week to support local farmers across the state. At that time, the district was able to source about 15 items from the Department of Agriculture's farm to school catalog, including sweet potatoes, collards, and ground beef. In consecutive years, Wayhand and the district started calling farmers directly to source more local produce and proteins for students. Now, they purchase sausage patties from Roswell Farms, rice from Tidewater Grain, burger patties from Brasstown Beef, and various other products from North Carolina farmers. For the past 2 years, North Carolina received the United States Department of Agriculture Local Food for Grant, Schools Grant. This helped tremendously offset the higher cost associated with purchasing locally. That grant has been recently cut by the current administration, which is devastating to schools across North Carolina and the country. Just this year, CCS has spent more than $200,000 purchasing local foods And the bill for Farm to School Week is expected to be about $100,000, Whalen said. Walter Beal, food distributor, director for the North Carolina Department of Agriculture, said Farm to Schools is a special program. Beal said last year's program was record-breaking, with about $4 million in local food for school grants distributed to North Carolina schools. We had $4 million of local food for school money spent, but only half of it was spent through our Farm to School program, Beal said. The other half was spent by schools with local farmers, vendors, and suppliers in their area that they already had relationships with, because we were hoping it would open and broaden relationships with local suppliers and local farmers. It was just a win-win situation in a lot of different ways. The funding was also beneficial because it helped schools provide healthy meals for children and teach students where their food comes from. Earlier this year, the North Carolina Department of Agriculture applied for the Local Food for Schools grant, which would have provided $12.4 million and an additional $6.5 million for early child centers. The department applied for the grant and received an award letter from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. However, after announcing the good news to North Carolina schools, Beal received a heartbreaking email informing him the grant was cut. That was a devastating email. I got it on March 7th at 4:01 p.m. I can tell you exactly when I got it because it broke my heart. The next day, Beal and another Department of Agriculture official traveled to Washington, D.C., where they spent almost a week meeting with U.S. Senator Ted Budd, U.S. Senator Tom Tillis, and members of Congress. It was very well spent money, and we're hoping every day that we can show the importance of it and tell the success stories. It was very, very successful funding from the government, and these people made very good use of it. Not a penny was wasted. Beal encouraged stakeholders at Thursday's luncheon to let their voices be heard and advocate for the success of the funding program. We're hoping somebody will hear us and something will replace it, Beal said. A new name, a new structure, a new something, but the nuts and bolts of it would be the same thing. Justice Sproul, a farmer at Tidewater Grain in Pamlico County, said Farm to School is a great program that allows children to see where their food comes from and eat local, nutritious food. He added, when especially when times are tough for farmers, support from the local community, like CCS, is important. If you can't rely on your community to support local business with the farmers, then who can you rely on? Charlie McCoy, a farmer at McCoy Cattle Farms in Cove City, said farms can benefit from the farm-to-school program. The kids eat our beef at school and then tell their parents about it, he said. Then we get some customers for wholesale and resale. Aside from stakeholder luncheon Thursday, the remaining farm-to-school week events aim to get students and teachers involved with their local farmers. And again, that article is being edited for time constraints. That's a great little story.
Also from Karamia Valentin of the New Bern Sun Journal, Essential Threads of the Community, Leaders Honored with Fabric Awards. Hundreds gathered for the 15th Annual Community Fabric Awards, presented by the Craven Community College Foundation, that honored several leaders making a difference in the New Bern area. The luncheon and awards ceremony at the New Bern Riverfront Convention Center Tuesday afternoon recognized Gary Baldry with the Individual Leadership Award, Robinson and Stith Insurance with the Business Leadership Award, and Catherine Allegood, who received the Leadership and Education Award. The Community Fabric Awards showcases individual, business, and educational excellence in leadership, as demonstrated by outstanding initiative, impact of service, and inspiration of others. The Craven Community College Foundation created the event in 2011 to recognize, reward, and encourage activities that have a significant impact on meeting the needs of the local community. For the past 15 years, Craven Community College, individual leaders, and the business community have come here together to honor those who best exemplify the values that bind us in humble service to one another, said Craven Community College President Ray Statz. The Community Fabric Awards are more than a tradition. They are a celebration of those who have made themselves deeply woven and essential threads in the vibrant tapestry of our region. Baldry, a New Bern native, is widely known for his family's tire and auto business, which began in New Bern in 1962. He helped expand services to Avlock and now works at Baldry's Tire Pros alongside his son and three grandsons. Baldry's community engagement extends to decades of rotary service, leadership roles in the Chamber of Commerce, and longstanding involvement with the Harold H. Bate Foundation. He also served on the Craven Community College Board of Trustees for 21 years, including one term as chair. Baldry said he's a firm believer that everyone should do their part to make their community a better place to live. The family owned and operated Robinson and Stith Insurance has a long-standing history in New Bern, providing insurance services since 1905. With Jimmy Robinson as president, his sons Jim Robinson and Johnny Robinson as assistant vice president and vice president respectively, and his son-in-law Dusty Throckmorton as treasurer, it is a genuine family affair. Jim Robinson accepted the Business Leadership Award on behalf of Robinson and Stith. Since this is the Business Leadership Award, I'm going to talk about my dad, Jim Robinson told the crowd. It's important to discuss the leader of our company, my dad, Jimmy Robinson. He has a knack for remembering names and faces. He can tell a story like no other. He can sell salt to a slug. He's a bull in a china shop with the heart of a teddy bear. And I mean that affectionately. He said his father is an exemplary leader who isn't afraid to roll up his sleeves to get a job done and leads by example, which he has instilled from the top down at Robinson and Stith. He said the team prides itself on having a no voicemail policy and a focus on human connection, especially in a world where insurance has become a digital commodity. Allegood is in her ninth year as principal of Bangert Elementary School in Trent Woods. Before she took on the role, Allegood taught at schools in Pamlico, Wake, and Craven counties. Although she never imagined she would follow in her mother's footsteps as a teacher, her love of science and desire to work with people led her to education, she said. Every day, the 447 students who attend Bangert Elementary leave the school and go back out into the community, Allegood said. What we do and what you do is all intertwined, like fabric, she continued. Every thread is extremely important, and when we put it all together, we build a strong fabric. Allegood explained that Community Fabric Awards are an appropriate title for the Foundation's annual event, because together, the community is making its small part of the world a better place. Each year, recipients of the Community Fabric Awards are presented with a unique work of art. This year's awards were created by local artist Melissa Gray, who owns the Southern Sheep Company, with her husband. Gray has a love for all things fiber arts and began spinning fiber more than 20 years ago. Allegood, Baldry, and Robinson & Stith Insurance each received a piece of Gray's fiber artwork as their award. The annual event is a keystone of Craven Community College Foundation's fundraising strategy. The foundation provides scholarships to students attending Craven Community College to help with tuition, books, and fees. It also provides emergency grants designed to move students past unplanned life events and continue their studies. In 15 years, the awards have raised more than $600,000 for the foundation, Statz said.
Since we have a little extra time, let me finish the article I'd been reading to you about the students and the farm-to-school week. On Wednesday, fourth-grade students in Craven County, all of them, visited a farmer's market which was set up in front of the elementary school. Students were each provided one farm buck to shop among the 11 vendors, where they could purchase additional farm bucks to spend. Each item, priced at $1, with each farm buck equaling $1, so all the students could make a purchase. Weiland said 900 fourth grade students attended and learned about local North Carolina products. The farmers market also gave me some good feedback because I was able to talk to the farmers and see what the kids liked. That helps me know what needs to be added to the school menu. Weiland said the farmers market had a high education value for students because they learned about local products and farming directly from the farmers who produce their food. Me telling them is one thing, but hearing directly from the farmers is another, she said. I think it sticks, and they know the work that they put into this. Staff with the school nutrition department also had a booth at the farmers market to pass out a children's book that staff created. Jeremiah Hallfelder and Laura Mullenix manned the school nutrition department's booth. We created a children's book about how the Tidewater grain rice that we use in schools actually came about. A lot of people don't know there's rice in Pamlico County, so it's fun to see them get excited about it. For some students, like London Coward from Vanceboro Farm Life Elementary School, this was their first experience at a farmer's market. It was kind of amazing, she said. I got to see little chicks, and I got peanuts and bracelets. Bowden Brown, another Vanceboro Farm Life student, said he'd been to the farmer's market in downtown New Bern, but still learned something new from this experience. I learned there's a lot of different kinds of honey, Brown said. I had a great time. I like farmer's market because there's a lot of new things that you can find out. Farm to School Week ended Friday with a door art competition sponsored by Bridgeton Poultry in New Bern. Students and teachers at Havelock Elementary School decorated classroom doors to represent farm to school across the geographical locations of the state. Judges chose the most creative door that illustrates the concept, and the women winning classroom received $200 for a class celebration.
Yeah, we have just enough time to give you some of the highlights from this article, not the whole story. Oil prices fall as OPEC increases supply despite fears of economic slowdown. The U.S. benchmark oil price settled at $57.13 a barrel Monday, the lowest level in more than 4 years and down more than 25% since before Trump took office. Trump said he would lower energy costs for Americans and called for increased drilling, but for many oil and gas executives who were big donors to the president's campaign, the steady price decline means it will not be profitable to drill new wells. The leaders of OPEC appear to be making a calculated decision to raise production, even if that lowers prices and thus how much money they make from selling oil, for geopolitical reasons.
One last thing that happened on this day in history. In 2002, South African-American Elon Musk founded the aerospace company SpaceX, which helped usher in the era of commercial spaceflight. And that's it for today. You've been listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, and this broadcast is generously supported by the Orchid Group at Morgan Stanley. We want to thank them for their contribution.
Very generously.
You got it. The content of the program is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast by visiting our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, please give us a call at 919-832-5138.